Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
This morning, I want to say thank you to everybody. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, just look at the scripture this morning. It's Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. You can remember it. 17:17. You can remember it. I don't know why we're at message, but well, it's okay. Let's go back to message. It's interesting. I saw weather. Yeah. Let's go back to the message. Oh, you have not. Friends love through all kinds of weather. And families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Hey. It's a scripture. But this morning, I want to look at the King James, where it says, a friend loveth at all times. And one thing that I can say I have received in many years of being in church is love. Yeah, it is a remarkable thing that we have, that somehow we are able to, I don't know about you, but I receive a lot of love. Ask you, but do you also get love? If you don't, check yourself. If you don't, check yourself. But I'm very happy, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey all these years of serving the Lord in this house. And I want to say a very big thank you to all of you. Amen. Amen. And today, I'm preaching for only 5 minutes. Oh, no, no. Today's... Oh, no. Today, because I have to dust up the message for the situation. Yes. What I had wasn't the birthday message. But it is a good message for us to receive. Amen. And then Reverend William will say something after I'm done. Yeah. But tell somebody we are blessed to be in a wonderful place. Yeah. Tell somebody that God has been really good to us. And today is no different from any other day. It's a chance for us to enjoy what God is giving us. Amen. Amen. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for every opportunity, every occasion, every chance we have to share fellowship in your presence. Today is no different from the other days. Let today be one step further in our walk with you. Let today be another opportunity to be closer and closer to you, that we might love you more and more. Thank you so, so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, I am preaching a small part of the message to be continued next week. And let me start by saying something. Most people, when you are born, you are correct. Amen. When you are born, you are correct. Do you understand it? Do you understand what it means? It's my birthday, oh, please. I have become quiet already. I don't understand. Wow. No, when you were born, you were correct. Oh, yes. Do you know what it means? It means that whatever is not perfect Now, it came in along the way. It wasn't there at the beginning. Oh, I think I'll go and come back next week. Birthdays are not working. No. Whatever, you were born correct. When you were born, you were, I mean, baby you is very, very similar to baby John the Baptist, who was the greatest who ever lived. And baby you, one day old you, was very, very similar to one day old baby Jesus, who was born in a manger. In fact, I think you are better than that. You were born in a hospital where there was more hygiene. So, a newborn, as you come into this world, what we have is very, very good. Amen.
Amen.
But it's as you grow. It's as you grow that the differences show and that things begin to come in and cause changes. And this morning, I want to just begin. I'm not preaching today because it's my birthday. I came for the party. I hope there's a party. There is. Uh-huh. That's why I came. I came for the party. I don't know why I'm standing here, but Reverend William is insisting that because the whole house has gathered, I have to say something. So I'm just saying this short introduction that we all, you see, sometimes you look at somebody and you are wondering, this guy's better than me, this guy's gone further than me, this guy has more than me, this guy is... No, don't worry. We all began the same. All of us began the same. It is just that along the way of life, in life's journey, on the ways we have come, something came in. It's not even so much where you were born, because I know people who were born in very, very what? Very distant, low places, who have become, remote is the word, thank you, remote places, who have become very powerful. And I know people who were born in very rich places who have become very down. Is that correct? Very down. Yeah, so it's not so much where you were born. Amen. It's not even so much who your parents were. Because sometimes you blame your parents. My parents this, my father this, my mother this, my this, this, this. But have you not seen that in some families, one son is a doctor and one son is a fitter? Oh, you have not seen it?
Yeah.
Hey. Same mother.
Yeah.
And same father.
Yeah.
And in the same house, one son has gone very far, very high in America, sending dollars. And the other son is here complaining every day. Oh, you have not seen some before? Yeah. So it's not the family, it's not your father or your mother. It's not where you came from. You see, we have laid blame on external circumstances. That, oh, this is the reason why, this is the reason why, this is the reason why. Tell somebody there's no reason why. In fact, there's one reason. It's you. You are the reason where you are where you are. Amen. I've almost finished. To be continued next week. But tell your neighbor, you are the reason. Oh, you see, when I say you, you must add your finger. You are the reason you are the way you are. It's not where you were born. No, 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 no. It's even some who are born in America, they are poorer than you. Do you know that? Yeah, some of you. Recently, I was talking to somebody, and she said a certain lady who was 85 years old is looking for a job.
Hey,
85-year-old lady looking for a job. What does it tell you? Poverty of a certain level. Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I saw somebody appealing, a working woman appealing on Facebook or one of these pages for money to go shopping, to buy food for her children. She said, my son, only one child, my son should not be hungry. So she's begging for somebody to send her money. Please ask your neighbor, have you ever gone to Facebook? Have you ever gone to Facebook to look for money to eat your next meal? Have you? Never. So you are better off. It's not where you are born. And it's not who your parents are. So listen carefully. It is because we were all born well, but something came inside you. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Something came inside you that changed you and made you become what you are. Amen. And that made you a bit different from somebody else. Because what came inside you, it was not the same thing that came inside the other person. Hallelujah. So the question is, what is it? So that my message this morning is, we change. But what changes us? Many things change us. I was going to touch on two of them, but I'll touch on one of them. And that one is that what has the power to change you and make you very different from what you were is when you become offended at something. Hallelujah. Are you listening? It's not a birthday message. It's a serious message. What can change you? What can change you radically? Can I use the word radically? What can change you radically is that you become offended at something. Hallelujah. You're not saying the amen well.
Amen.
And why is offense an important message? Because one, Matthew, I'm giving a scripture. I have to give scripture. I've not preached well. Matthew 18, verse 7. Bible says, woe unto the world because of offenses. But offenses must needs come. It must, there will be there. So listen, even though this is what changes you, it doesn't have to change you. Are you listening? It doesn't have to change you. It will happen. But it's not supposed to make you to be changed and become something else. Amen.
Amen.
It's not supposed to make you a different person. The sweet baby is supposed to grow and become a sweet little girl. You didn't say amen.
Amen.
And the sweet little girl is to grow and become a sweet teenager. You say amen.
Amen.
And the sweet teenager is to become a what? Sweet young lady. You say amen.
Amen.
And the sweet young lady become a what? Sweet wife. Yeah. And then the sweet wife become a sweet mother. Then sweet grandmother. Then sweet old lady. Then sweet funeral. Yeah, sweet saints. Okay. Some become wicked grandmothers or wicked stepmothers, or some they become something along the way. They change. Amen. So you're not supposed to change. Hallelujah. Listen. What are you ready? What can change you? Huh? What can change you? And this morning, turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis is the beginning of everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you found Genesis? Eventually, we'll get there. You wait. We are getting there slowly. We are moving. We are there. We're not there yet. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 4. We are getting there. Genesis chapter 4. We will get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We are there. Are you ready? And about how we change. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect. Are you listening? Are you listening? And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Let me switch to the ERV. At the harvest time, verse 3, Cain brought a gift to the Lord. He brought some of the food that he grew from the ground. But Abel brought some animals from his flock. He chose some of his best sheep and brought the best parts from them. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gifts. But he did not accept Cain and his offering. It's a very dangerous scripture. I can't go into it today because I don't know the reasons why. But it is that not all offerings are accepted by the Lord. Amen. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? It tells you that you got to be careful. Tap your neighbor and say, you got to be careful. No. You see, when I say tap, I mean hold the dress. We don't tap in this house. We don't tap. Tap is not common. Hold the dress and say, listen, you've got to be careful. Because it's not, you see, you can come to church with an offering, with something, and just drop it in the basket and go away. But it's not everything that God accepts. Yeah. If you are bringing some tired 20 CD notes, be careful. Be careful. I've not stopped. I always find fresh notes. Okay? Fresh notes. I never give an old. Some notes have been folded and put into the brassiere, and it is wet with sweat and become soggy and tired. And then it has. You mind me again? Oh, it's not true. It has become soft, and it is almost like it's fading. And then you bring it out, and then you put it in the offering basket, or the note came from a taxi driver who just pushed it, mixed with oil in there. Then you bring that note to give to God. Ask somebody, you, would you accept it? Would you accept such a note? Eh? Look, as you are coming to God, please, always, not in church, it's too late. In your house, fish out the best notes. I didn't hear amen. Fish out the best notes. You say, oh, I'm doing Momo. Okay. Make sure your Momo account has something inside. You mind me this morning. Because some of you, when you come, you say, oh, it's in my bank. And the two are not linked. You knew they were not linked when you were coming. Anyway, Cain was very sad because of this. And he became very angry. And the Lord asked Cain, why are you angry? Why does your face look sad? You know that if you do what is right, I will accept you. But if you don't, sin. You see, sometimes we think of opposites. That the opposite of one thing is the other thing. So when you do what is right, I will accept you. When you do what is wrong, I won't accept you. That's what we are thinking. Amen? But it's not like that. Do you know why? Oh, do you know why it's not like that? Because as for God, he will accept you. Yeah, have you? Yeah, I feel like that. But very few fathers reject their children when they do bad. Very few fathers. I know one father, his daughter went and got pregnant. Hey! Pregnant when she was in school or something. Do you know the fire in the house? Hey, it was not easy at all. There was great fire. I mean, not that there was great fire. There was a volcano. It was burning. Look, the girl couldn't cough again in the house. Look, are you listening? Find a young lady, one hair. Do you want this fire in your life? Find a young lady. Find a young lady and add your finger and one hair. Look, ask, are you serious? Are you correct? What kind of girl are you? You're looking for this fire in your life. What kind of girl are you? No, not at all. And it was a very wild fire. And then the baby was born. Hey, can the volcano get worse? The man didn't talk to her. Look, I'm talking about God saying, if you do right, I will accept you. And if you don't, what will happen if you don't do right? He was so angry. This is God. He was so angry with his daughter. And so for a long time, she and her father didn't talk. No. There was no talking at all. Then she had to go to classes. School, finish pregnancy, whatever, maternity leave, finish. Back to school or back to classes, whatever it is. So she had to go back to classes. And when she was going, she would leave the baby at home and go to work, and go to classes. One day she went to work. When she got there, she was feeling very sick. Her father hadn't spoken to her for weeks. She was feeling very sick. So she had to go home. So in the middle of the day, she just left the school and came home. When she got home, I mean, she was feeling very bad. She just opened the door, came into the house. Hey, what a shock. She almost fell down. Look, they almost brought a stretcher to carry her away. Do you know what she saw? She saw her father on the ground playing with the baby. The baby was on the floor and the father was on his knees. Hey, the man hasn't spoken to her for about 3 months. When he entered, then he saw her. So, okay, come for your baby. God doesn't leave you. Do you understand? But he's not happy with you. But he doesn't leave you. Sometimes what happens is that you leave God. If this girl had also decided to, I'm leaving home, I'm going. You didn't know that your father was all this time taking care of your baby. She didn't know that when she goes to work, then the man will wake up, where's the baby? But I can't make you feel that I agree with what you did. So you have to pass through her way. So he said, if you don't, sin. I hope you are getting the differences now. Sin is waiting. No, ARV. Sin is ready to attack you. That sin wants to control you, but you must control it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, from today. No, hold that person. From today. Every sin in your life can be controlled. Don't tell me I couldn't control myself. You like the sin. That's why you are doing it again. You like it. You like it. You like it. You like watching pornography. You like going out with boys. You like lazy. You like sleeping. You like it. You are happy when you are sleeping and they are quarreling, and you are happy when they are shouting, ah, I'm awake, up. Ah. Then you are happy. You are some way, pa. Not talking about you are very some way. Then you say, it was a mistake. It's not a mistake. Please hold your neighbor collar, the collar. This one is a very serious discussion. You like the sin. Amen. You're not minding me. Are you holding the collar? Hold the person. You are saying that I couldn't wake up. You couldn't wake up. Why couldn't you wake up? You like the sleep. You like to be there. And when listen, some people, you think that when they are being harassed in their house, they are talking plenty. You think they don't like it? They like it. They like the confusion in their house. Oh, it's not true. Hey, ask them. Oh, it's not true. Always they're calling you. Where are you? Where are you? They say, I'm popular in the house. No, you are a problem in the house. You are a problem in the house. But they like it. They like to be the center of controversy. Amen. But you are supposed to control it. You are supposed to. Look, nothing. Please, go to your neighbor. I've almost finished. Reverend Winner, are you ready? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, you say after me, nothing is to control you. Don't come and tell me the boy came and you called me and I couldn't say no. Hey, no, the boy called me. And no, please find a sister and point your finger at her and tell her, what a lousy excuse. Please find a sister. There's two sisters are here. Please help me. There are many sisters in this corner. Ah, Daniela, what a lousy excuse. The boy called me and I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no. The boy said, let's go. And Barbara, the boy said, let's go. And I couldn't say no. What kind of, you can't say no. I said, you can't say no. Look, let me tell you something. I have been offered cake many, many times. I say no. Even though I like the cake, I say no. You can say no. Amen. They say, well, I can't. You can't control it. Amen. So Cain said to his brother, Abel, William, are you ready? Let's go out to the field. So they went to the field. Then Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Hallelujah. Is this how Cain was born? Look, when he was born, look at verse 1. Eve said, I have gotten a man child, my firstborn, beautiful baby. I remember when I had my firstborn, not unsure, I had my firstborn, beautiful baby. Oh, I carried him. Look, when he was born, I was there in the labor ward. Ghana, go abroad to born. Why? Don't born in Ghana. Okay? Then you can be in the labor ward also. That is not easy. It may easily fall down. But then when the baby was born, then they gave him to me. I held him first because Joe was very tired. Oh, my. I said, oh, is it mine? Can I keep him? Listen, I can imagine what Eve said. I have gotten a man child. It's a man, but it's a man child. It's mine. I'll keep him forever for the rest of my life. And baby, nice baby. He was dark like me. Oh, yes. Nikki, the rest are fairer. But Nikki was like me. Oh, yes. I mean, that's how he was born. But look at what has happened. When you go down to verse 8, then Cain, this same nice baby. Are you listening? Nice young lady, nice man. This is not how you were. This is not how you were. This is not how you were born. This is not what you are supposed to be like. No, you are. When you were born, you were somebody's sweetheart. Somebody was so happy. I mean, I saw recently a man with his children's walking. And the man, big man and small little children's. Oh, look, I mean, so happy. So happy. This is the baby. This is the baby of my life. But look at what has happened. Let us go to the field. So they went to the field. Then Cain attacked his brother. Amen. Amen. Why did this happen? Because of one thing. Two things I will tell you. Then I'm finished. Two things. Number one, Cain was corrected. Cain did something wrong and he was corrected. Amen. The Lord said, if you do what is right, I will accept you. But if not, you are doing something wrong. Amen. You are doing something wrong. What you are doing is not right. There's a way to do everything. And you have done something wrong. And God said, no, I cannot tell somebody, I cannot keep quiet. If you are doing something wrong. That one too is adding wrong to wrong. I cannot keep quiet. Listen, there is nobody here who is perfect. Nobody. Amen. Everybody is doing wrong, small or big, but is doing wrong. And the greatest blessing you can have is that somebody will correct you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't say a good amen.
Amen.
The greatest, listen to me, the greatest blessing you can have is somebody will tell you this is wrong in your life. Amen. Somebody will look at you and advise you and correct you about something you are doing in your life that is not right. If nobody is correcting you, hey, like a person, do you know what it's like? Like a person who's living in a house with no mirror. A lady in a house with no mirror doing makeup. No, what will happen? Abigail, what will happen? A lady in a house. No. Priscilla, a lady in a house doing makeup with no mirror. Say, oh, I know my face. I can see the lipstick. I can see the rouge. I can see everything. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing my makeup well. Then she has done her makeup. Then she has gone out into town. What are we going to see? A disaster. And it is because there's nobody in your house to tell you too much or too little or off the line or in the wrong place. There's nobody to tell you. There's nobody to tell you. So when it comes to physical things, sometimes a mirror works. When it comes to your personal things, there's no mirror except another person standing there who will tell you something about yourself. Amen. So listen, tell your neighbor, if nobody is telling you something about you, you know, if you are a lady, especially lady, men, our dressing is different. You are a lady and nobody ever comments about your dressing. Be afraid. Be afraid. No, don't tell me you are correct. Everybody has a madness. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. Everybody has a madness that I want to try something. I've seen a dress. I want to try this dress. If there's no one to tell you it doesn't work, you will go thinking it works. If there's no one to tell you the zip is open at the back, you will go into town with what? The zip open at the back. No one to tell you the bra is showing. All these are issues that many of them you cannot see for yourself. That is why young ladies who are correct, when they're going out, they'll go to their friend. Tell me. Oh, you don't do that. Yeah, they're checking. At least they're going to a friend who they hope is equally wise or a bit wiser. Am I okay? Then they check and see. Yeah. No. Cain was corrected by the Lord and he didn't accept it. Hallelujah. This morning, it is a dangerous thing that nobody corrects you. And when you are corrected, you don't accept it. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. It is a dangerous thing that nobody corrects you. Nobody has corrected you in recent times. Don't say, I'm good. I'm passing. Say, hey, where did I fail? And nobody said it. No, don't think that I'm always doing well. Where did I fail? And nobody said it. No. Nobody's correcting you. Nobody's commenting about you. in any form or fashion, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Hallelujah. Now don't mind me this morning. So Cain was there. When he was corrected, he became sad. Then he became angry. He became sad. Are you listening? Then he became angry. If your reaction to correction is very important, it tells us who you are. Amen. It tells us who you are. Let me give you three scriptures. I'm closing very soon. Reverend William, are you ready? Jeremiah 7 and 28. So shall you say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the Lord. It's God. Obey the voice of the Lord. That's the New King James. This is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receive correction. If we cannot be corrected, then likely even God can't get to you. Amen. Amen. If you cannot be corrected, when we correct you, you are upset. You say, hey, what is it? What is going on? Then very likely, even God can't get to you. Do you know why? Because you can't see God. You can't see God. It is the men who you can see. Mr. Man, please put your phone down. Hello, hello, hello. Please put your phone down and listen to me. I'm almost finished. Okay, it's my birthday. I can say what I like. Yeah, it's my birthday. Amen. And look at what it says. Truth has finished. Perished, but finished. Truth has finished and been cut off from their mouths. You cannot be corrected. Proverbs 9. This is Cain and verse 8. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. That's Cain. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Hallelujah. Who is a scoffer? Look at verse 7. Give me the ERV. Criticize a person, a scoffer, who is rude and shows no respect. A person who doesn't respect, who doesn't listen to people. When that person is corrected, he reacts and becomes some way. Listen, look at your neighbor. Ask him, how do you respond when you are corrected? How? What is in you? What is in you? Amen. How come nobody can tell you that change and do this? Change your shirt, change your dressing, change your whatever. How come nobody can tell you? Yes. Amen. And finally, Hebrews 12 and verse 7. Are you found it? So accept suffering like a father's discipline. God does these things to you like a father correcting his children. You know that all children are disciplined or corrected by their fathers. Verse 8. So if you never receive the discipline that every child must have, you are not. Tell somebody you are not true children and don't really belong to God. Amen. This morning, asking about whose child are you? Where did you come from? Who is your father? Because who is correcting you? No, ask him, who is correcting you? Who is commenting about your dressing, your hairstyle, your way of behaving? Who is commenting? Ask him, is anybody commenting? If nobody is commenting about your dressing, your hairstyle, then you are on your own. Then you are by yourself. You are not truly, because do you think if I see my son walking in town, dressed in a certain way, I'll keep quiet? Hey, there'll be a discussion. But if I see somebody's son, I'll say, praise the Lord. After all, I may not have the authority to correct him. I may not have the relationship to correct him. So this morning, as I close, Reverend William, as I close, number one, there must be somebody in your life who will tell you the truth. Amen. There must be somebody in your life who will tell you the truth. If there's nobody in your life like that, then you are a washia. You know a washia, the child who doesn't come home. He's just roaming around everywhere and anyhow and something, 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 something. There is nothing. There's nothing. There's no control over you. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
If there's nobody who can comment about your hairstyle, your dress, your behavior, too much lipstick, too much Facebook, too much, then you are not a child. You don't belong anywhere. And if somebody does take you as a child and correct you, and then you flare up, it means you're not a proper child. The person was wrong to take you as a child. He was being too known. He was being presumptuous. If somebody corrects you, you're not listening. You have become very quiet again. Hey, if somebody corrects you, then you don't. You change your face. Then you change your behavior. Then you become cool, or you become quiet, or you start criticizing. Then the person was wrong to think that you are a child, or you are a child who is not a proper child. Amen. It's my birthday. I'm finished. Hallelujah. So, number one, somebody must be able to tell you something. Let me qualify it, because the something is easy, is not enough. Somebody must be able to tell you something hard. Something is not enough, because I can tell you something nice. Oh, Shawanda, I like your dress. Oh, Shawanda, I like your hair. That one there, you can say it easily. But somebody must be able to tell you something hard, something negative. It is correction, correcting something in you that is not right. Somebody must be able to direct you and make you change your behavior. If nobody can do that, you're an orphan, or you're a bastard. What's a bastard in tree? A janka? That's an orphan. No. That's an orphan. No. I know tree. That one I know. It's not a janka. What's a bastard? An illegitimate child. What's a bastard in tree? You all don't know. Look, my church, don't disgrace me. I need somebody who speaks proper tree in this house. Hey, no. On my birthday, pa, you tell me this one. An illegitimate child. Nobody knows. Okay. What's that? No. If nobody can correct you, then likely, you are a bastard, an illegitimate child. You are not the proper son of the person. You are just a houseboy who has stayed for a long time. but there's no connection. And that's why you can say, I'm going. No, you can't go like that. Amen. And the last thing for this morning is that you must be somebody who accepts, embraces, likes correction. You must be somebody like that. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear a good amen. You must be somebody who will say that it's a long time. You said something about me. How am I doing? It's a long time you looked at my messages, my homework. You must be somebody who's like, you know something? You've not said anything. I don't believe I'm perfect. So what is it that is lacking? And I believe that if we are able to embrace correction and embrace rebuke and embrace this thing and not change as Cain did, we shall never deviate from that sweet baby. Ah, look at some people here. You were a baby. You were a nice baby. Look at your neighbor and say, you, now I'm not sure, but you were a nice baby. You were nice when you were a baby. I remember your mother was holding you, baby, careful. They were holding you like, hey, do this. They were holding you like this. You were cradling you. They were just crocodiling you. When you say, then your mother will get up. Hey, they're coming to look at you in the night. And some parents, they'll just, when the baby is lying there, they just look at the baby. Oh, it's not true. Ah, the baby is lying down, asleep. He's got other troubles. And you, the mother, are just there. Charlie, God has blessed me, my new baby. Henry, you just look at the baby lying down there. That's all. Then your heart is full. That's how you began. That's how you began. Very loved. But along the way, something, then you became, you changed. May we not change. Oh. May we not change.
Amen.
And those who have changed, may we unchange.
Amen.
May we go back to a very gentle, sweet spirit. May we give up every struggle in our hearts. May we accept people, accept somebody as a father. And with all the authority and responsibility and capability to correct us and to say things that nobody else can say. It is only a certain kind of person who can enter into your life, who can enter into your, who can say, where is your bank account? I mean, when your father's asking for your bank account, he has more money than you. It's not that I'm taking from you, but we are checking to see where you are in this world and how to help you to the next phase. It's only a father who is able to care enough that your values are showing. Things are, it's only others are happy to see. Other men are happy to see your breast showing. They say, Charlie, wow, this girl, she's nice. So it's only a father who is in a height to protect you by covering it, not to shield you. May you have such a figure in your life. And if you do, may you love it. Says the wise man who love correction. May you love it. May you look forward to it. May you be able to say that, thank God somebody told me about this. I've worked many, many years dressing this way and nobody ever said anything. But today you have told me that this thing is we changed, and I've changed it. And as you change, may God bless you and lift you up. May God take you higher and higher. May there be a radical transformation in your life. May you turn around from being somebody far away to somebody brought close. And may your life be one that is getting better and better and not just getting by. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.